The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Section. Aren't people naturally competitive? A further argument against the possibility of socialism is that human beings are naturally competitive. There are plenty of examples of spontaneous acts of sharing and cooperation in our present society that contradict this one-sided picture. For example, when people pitch in during a disaster. Moreover, even as it encourages individualist thinking and competition, capitalism is also a breeding ground of cooperation. Mass production and distribution would be impossible without it. In every workplace, hundreds and sometimes thousands of people must labor cooperatively to turn out a product. This socialized cooperative aspect of capitalism is a partial negation of market competition, and it provides the basis for workers' own sense of themselves as a collective class whose interests compel them to take collective action. The biggest problem with the everyone is competitive argument is that in a society based upon abundance, people won't need to fight over resources. In the socialist society, when there is plenty and abundance for all, wrote American Trotskyist James Cannon, quote, what will be the point in keeping account of each one's share, any more than in the distribution of food at a well-supplied family table? You don't keep books as to who eats how many pancakes for breakfast or how many pieces of bread for dinner. Nobody grabs when the table is laden. If you have a guest, you don't seize the first piece of meat for yourself. You pass the plate and ask him to help himself first. End quote. The point is that, under socialism, society's surplus wealth would be collectively used to enhance the welfare of all, rather than that of a small group. Why would I steal what was freely available? Such a society may seem too utopian. But as Cannon said, quote, what's absurd is to think that this madhouse is permanent and for all time. End quote. Hang on, say the naysayers. Without competition, creativity and invention would stagnate. There would be no incentive to work hard to achieve. The implication of this, one of the oldest arguments against socialism, is that capitalist market competition is the best and only guarantee of hard work. Marx and Engels dealt with the question in the Communist Manifesto. It has been objected, they write, quote, that upon the abolition of all private property, all work will cease, and universal laziness will overtake us. Their answer is as simple as it is devastating. Quote, according to this, bourgeois society ought long ago to have gone to the dogs through sheer idleness. For those of its members who work acquire nothing, and those who acquire anything do not work. End quote. The majority of people do not work for their own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Their only incentive is that without work, they cannot survive. Yet, there are plenty of examples of people putting in hours of hard work for no financial gain. Anyone involved in high school or community theater can attest to the satisfaction that comes from pouring hours after school or work into making a theatrical production come to life. I myself met many ordinary people in Mississippi and Louisiana in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, who came from all over the country to bring supplies and distribute food to the storm's victims. I met a student from a Nashville Divinity School who spent hours in the polluted floodwaters of New Orleans, helping stranded Katrina victims onto dry land from rescue boats. Those boats had been donated or commandeered by concerned citizens. Nor can the argument be leveled that socialism takes incentive away because it doesn't allow for personal possessions. It is only property used to exploit others that socialism prohibits. Socialism will allow for people to have more, not less, of the things that enhance their lives. And the incentive to invent better technology will remain, even without the profit motive, because such inventions will reduce work hours and enhance everyone's quality of life. And while it is true that capitalist competition acts as a spur to increase production, it is also extremely wasteful. One need only think of the multi-billion-dollar advertising industry, or the military-industrial complex, to see how much labor is expended upon essentially worthless enterprises. Imagine what hundreds of billions of dollars now spent on weapons of mass destruction, or on advertisements aimed at convincing us to buy one brand of sugary water over another, could do to fix crumbling schools, provide universal health care, and clean up environmental degradation. Moreover, because capitalist enterprises depend upon increasing profits and market share, they must continually sell their products in ever greater quantities. There is, therefore, a built-in incentive on the part of capitalists to produce things of poor quality that do not last. This is called planned obsolescence. Think of the college textbook industry, where the same $100 book is reissued, with a higher price tag, of course, that has nothing more than a new introduction and several rearranged chapters. Or the new housing developments that use the cheapest building materials to construct flimsy homes that won't last. The healthcare business is probably the most distressing example of what happens when we let the market decide. Healthcare for profit means delivering the least amount of healthcare service possible and selling the service for as much as possible. HMOs deny people access to important medical procedures because they want to maximize their profits. Insurance companies refuse coverage to those who need it the most, the chronically ill with pre-existing conditions, because it isn't profitable. Richard Lott, president of the now notorious Columbia HCA hospital chain, compares healthcare to fast food. Quote, "Do we have an obligation to provide healthcare for everybody? Where do we draw the line? Is any fast food restaurant obligated to feed everybody who shows up?" End quote. Capitalism wastes human life above all. It spends billions of dollars to warehouse people in overcrowded prisons. It provides subpar education to millions of poor students, sending a message that their lives will amount to nothing. Capitalism negates the most important incentive, the incentive to feed, clothe, and house everyone, and to provide all with meaningful work. Are people homeless in America because there is a shortage of homes? And if that is the case, is there a shortage of homes because we won't have the concrete, the wood, and the steel to produce them? Or perhaps because we don't have the workers who can build them? The labor and the materials are there, but there is no incentive to build low-cost housing for the homeless, simply because it is not profitable to do so. End of section.